4 p.m. to 5 p.m. for CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver. What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another installment of Asian Wave 101. I'm your host, Steve Zhang, for CITR 101.9 FM, coming to you live from the University of British Columbia on unceded Musqueam territory in the city of Vancouver. Thank you all for joining me this afternoon. And today, I'm in a bit of a celebratory mood because schools officially come to an end. The tax period is over, and with summer right around the corner, starting to heat up a little bit, sun is finally coming out. I know everyone's going to be happy with the warm weather approaching. It's just a good day, and I'm just in a good mood, and I hope you all are too. So with that being said, I really wanted to get some music in here today that's just a little more up, a little more hype, you know, something that's just that just suits the mood that I think all of us are in right now. So, but first off, I'm going to kick it off with a song by one of my favorite Mandarin artists that's not quite up, because this is just not down, but somewhere a little bit in between. And it's by Jess Lee, based in Taiwan, with her song 强求, which means forced to, and it's off her 2014 album Heaven/Cliff. The idea behind the song is that this relationship between these two people just isn't right, she actually says this in the song, I didn't make a mistake until I started loving you. The affections between the two are forced, it's emotionless, and it's just not genuine, and it's painful. And hugging him is kind of like hugging hot metal. It's in the interest of both of them to just end it peacefully. So Jess is singing, always very smooth, the way she can move to the higher notes seamlessly without wrecking the flow of the song, and it's not grating as when some artists really belt out the high notes but don't quite hit it. It's not like that. So the song itself is composed in the easily identifiable Mandarin pop style. It's a ballad track, but this ballad has some distinct contemporary R&B feel with some considerable rock influence, and it's one of my favorite songs by one of my favorite artists. So let's check it out. Jess Lee, Forced To on Asian Wave 101. That was Jess Lee with Force 2, a Mandarin Pop staple, but it's Mandopop done right. It is most certainly not the typical piano ballad, the average dime a dozen ballad female pop singers from China make 10 of each for each album. And honestly, this song is adventurous. It blends different styles together with the R&B influence a little. You can hear a bit of that. It's got a little bit of a rock flavor to it as well. And, you know, combine that with Jess Lee's flawless singing technique, it really makes for one really good musical experience. So if you're interested in songs like that, definitely go and check it out. She's definitely an artist worth watching. So the next song that I have for you is by one of Korea's top girl groups, 2NE1 or 2NE1 or 21, however you want to say it. The song from them is their iconic song, 내가 제일 잘 나가, which translates to I am the best. And there's nothing else really to this song. It's hype, it's more up, as I said before. It's plenty braggadocious. It's got no profound meaning. It's just stating that they're ahead of the game, that you can't catch them that easily because they're just killing it. And what I want you to think when listening to this is to always be the best that you can be every day. Don't let anyone get to you. Don't let the sporadic bad moments ruin your day, your week, your month, your life, whatever. Don't let any of that get to you. You just got to take some time to remember and say to yourself, I am a freaking boss. I am the best. And again, this is one of 21's most famous songs. I heard it's even made its way onto airwaves and radio stations here in North America. I heard from a couple of my friends down in the States that they had heard this song on the radio. So they definitely have that international appeal going for them. So that's coming up next on Asian Wave 101. 21, I am the best.
Oh my God. 누가 봐도 내가 좀 투표투잖아. Right. 둘째 가라면 이 몸이 서럽잖아. Right. 넌 뒤를 따라오지만 난 앞만 보고 찝찝해. 네가 앉은 테이블 위를 뛰어다녀. I don't care. 건드리면 감당 못해. I'm hot, 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 hot fire. 뒤집어지기 전에 제발 누가 날 좀 말. 만 옷을 걸치고 거울에 비친 내 얼굴을 꼼꼼히 살피고 지금은 8시 약속 시간은 8시 반 도도한 걸음으로 나선 이 밤 내가 제일 잘 나가 내가 제일 잘 나가 내가 제일 잘 나가 내가 제일 잘 나가 제일 잘 나가 내가 봐도 내가 좀 끝내주잖아 Right 네가 날아도 이 몸이 부럽잖아 Right 남자들은 날 돌아보고 여자들은 따라해 내가 앉은 이 자리를 매일 넘만 피곤해 순수인 작품 만장은 어리버리한 태야 나 바라봤지 달려 쳐다보기 좋게 차야 비교도 난 거부해 이건 겸손한 얘기 가치를 논하자면 난 billion dollar baby 뭘 좀 아는 사람들은 다 알아서 알아봐 아무나 자꾸 물어봐 누가 제일 잘 나가 내가 제일 잘 나가 내가 제일 잘 나가 내가 제일 잘 나가 내가 제일 잘 나가 제일 잘 나가 누가 네가 나보다 더 잘 나가 No, 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 no 나, 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 나 누가 네가 나보다 더 잘 나가 No, 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 no 나, 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 나 No,
21 with I Am the Best, very bombastic, very in-your-face song, keeping with the theme of music in a more celebratory mood today. If you like their sound, definitely check out some more of their stuff. They are not the typical cutesy girl group, and if it's of any interest at all, member CL is having a solo debut in America soon, though I hope for her sake she gets some songs better than the ones that producers have been tossing her so far. Moving on, I have an indie rock band originally from the state of California, now based in Korea, the Royal Pirates. They are a three-member band composed of lead singer and guitarist Moon, bassist James, and drummer Suyun. All three of them are Korean-Americans and made their official debut in Korea back in August of 2013. The song that I have from them today is called Love Toxic, and while they are a rock band, this song is more pop-rocky, and it's got a bit more of a synth-rocky as opposed to more of the, I guess you could say, more of the pure rock sound or the hard rock sound that they had before, that they had in some of their previous songs and also before their official debut. But this song is, to say it simply, it's more experimental for them, and it's one of two singles from their EP also called Love Toxic. Now, don't take this as a sign that they aren't really a rock band, because I gave them that label. They have songs that are more in line with the quote-unquote pure rock sound, if I could use that term at all, such as their debut Korean single Shout Out. And before their debut, they had actually garnered a lot of attention for their YouTube videos, which were hard rock covers of popular Korean pop songs. They have those roots as rock artists, so this is just a little something that they're trying out, and it's always good to see artists diversifying their sound a little bit, trying out new things, because if they just remain static, that doesn't really keep the fans interested, you know? So for Love Toxic, the idea is that is meeting this one person and seeing them and wanting to fall in love right away, steal the kisses and the feelings with no hesitation, and making that type of connection, I guess you could say. That's coming up next, Royal Pirates, Love Toxic.
Oh, 내 가슴에 들래 널 떠올려 Whoever said money can't buy you friends obviously wasn't a member at CITR. When you become a member, you get the Friends of CITR card with incredible discounts on Commercial Drive and other areas at
Bone Rattle Music Limited, High Life Records, People's Co-op Bookstore, Audiopile Records, Bad Bird Media, Band Merch Canada, Vancouver Music Gallery, and Pandora's Box Rehearsal Studios.
To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or go online to citr.ca. Are you not sure where to go on campus? Traveling late at night and afraid to go alone? Call SafeWalk, a free service where a co-ed team will take you anywhere you need to go on campus. Don't walk alone. For a walk, add SafeWalk to your phone. Call 604-822-5355. That's 604-822-5355. Alternatively, use a UBC Blue phone and ask for SafeWalk. Approach any SafeWalk team or drop by our office on the main floor of the sub across from the gallery lounge. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
We are back on Asian Wave 101, and right before the break, we heard Royal Pirates with Love Toxic off their EP of the same name. A bit more experimental for the band, a bit of a departure from the usual sound. They do have a very consistent and good sound and style, and I will bring in one of their more rock tracks in the future, but if you like rock, definitely check them out. They will not disappoint. The next song is also by a rock band, this time from the Mandarin music world, and it's by Taiwanese rock band Mayday, Wu Yue Tian. They've been active for well over a decade now. They debuted in 1997 as So Band before changing their name. And coincidentally enough, the name Mayday actually came from the online username of one of the members. They've been hailed by record executive Jonathan Lee as being the ones to usher in the sound of the future, and he was the one who signed them back during the start of their career. They were extremely well known for being highly vocal advocates for gay rights and other social issues, and over the course of their career, their music began moving toward a more polished and slick sound, but they never forgot their roots, and their songs still address social issues as they did in the past. The song I have from them today is off their eighth studio album, The Second Round, released back in late 2011. The song is called Xingkong, which translates to outer space, but it's also called Starry Night in this case. And the idea behind the song is that there are times when one feels loneliness in their lives. All the things from past relationships, for example, such as the words, the hugs, the intimacy even. Over time, all those things just seem to fade away and disappear. But there will always be memories, which is where the idea of outer space comes from, because space is always there, much like how memories remain with you no matter what. And memories are like the stars in this case. They seem so tangible, so near, like you could reach out and actually just touch them. But like the stars, they can't be reached, because memories are there, but not tangible. They're there, yet not there. And that's kind of like the stars, because they're always there, but they're just always out of reach because they're just so far and distant. Kind of like memories, especially like the ones that just aren't as clear. So, a very deep and profound meaning to this song. It's in the rock genre, though it is on the soft rock side of things. But this is the first time Mayday is being played on the show, so let's check it out. Mayday with Starry Night coming up next, and after that, we'll change it up with Taiwanese pop diva Jolien Tsai.
Kampu dao de yung bao shi Don't.
All right, so we just heard two songs back to back. The first one that we heard was Mayday Starry Night and Jolin Tsai, I'm Not Yours, which features Japanese pop star Namie Amuro. And you can hear her singing on the second verse and in the English portions where her Japanese accent comes out a little bit. You can kind of hear that she was mispronouncing the L's in the words that had the L's during the English portions of the song. And it was the first time that Jolin and Namie had worked together on a song, but the two of them are friends from before. It's a rather interesting collaboration, and Namie actually had never sung in Mandarin before this, so this song was something new for her. And I was actually really impressed with her singing. Very slick production on the song as well. It's more EDM heavy, much like the majority of Jolin's releases since 2012. The idea behind the song is that they're addressing a guy who's, I guess you could say that he's kind of trying to put on his moves a little bit. He's trying to pick up a girl, but he's just laughable at best. And then they're just kind of trying to say that, oh man, just get out of my face. You're just not worth it. It's far too laughable, you're far too funny, and not in the good way, that type of thing. So definitely, if you are interested in more EDM-sounding songs, Jolin is definitely an artist that you can head to for some of that. She does it extremely well, always very adventurous as an artist, worth checking out. So now is that time of the week where we check out some of the latest happenings from the Asian entertainment world with Asian Entertainment News. And the first story that I have for you today is from the Chinese language world. Jackie Chan opens up the Far East Film Festival for the first time in its 17-year history. The event was held in Udine, Italy, and Jackie arrived via private jet from Beijing, where he had handed out awards and participated in the closing ceremony of the Beijing International Film Festival just a few hours beforehand. In addition to opening the festival in Italy, Jackie also held a press conference and a fan event for his new film, Dragon Blade. The festival has tried to secure Jackie's appearance at the festival several times in the past, but each time he had to reject their offer. He apologized for rejecting the invitations that came in the past and then launched into tales about shooting for 3 months in the Gobi Desert when working on Dragon Blade. The festival lineup includes Chinese hits The Continent and Breakup Buddies, Thai drama The Last Executioner, as well as Gangnam Blues and Ode to My Father. So beyond the fact that this is a big deal for the festival since Jackie Chan has finally graced them with an appearance, but more the fact that this festival actually exists. It's kind of all these Asian filmmakers in the Far East coming together to share their work and really just appreciate one another and support one another. And you know, in this world that we live in right now, where there is a rising interest in Asian cinema, East Asian cinema specifically, but in a lot of sense that it's more, a lot of people more kind of see, especially people who are involved in the industry, more kind of see the monetary benefits and something like that. And where some people watch it not because it's really what they want to do, but because it's considered kind of artsy. You know, without the love being shown to East Asian films by a lot of people just not showing that love, giving that support, everybody shows up to the festival, the East Asian filmmakers show up, and they show each other love. That's what it's all about, and that's what I can really appreciate from this. Moving on, though, next up, the story is from Korea, and it's a rather significant story as it's a continuation of something that's been happening essentially since May of 2014. Korean boy band EXO's TAO has reportedly agreed to withdraw from the band. For the past week or so, SM Entertainment, the label that signs EXO and TAO, has been involved with a dispute with TAO's father. This was confirmed by SM Entertainment with a statement. The dispute first gained attention when an English translation of a letter supposedly written by TAO's father was posted online. In the letter, Mr. Huang, TAO's father, expressed his desire to see his son withdrawn from the group, citing his health and well-being as his reason for doing so. He writes that for years, TAO has been suffering from several injuries that were not able to properly heal due to his continuous promotions and the label having him practice and rehearse on his injuries, one of the most serious being a torn ligament in his foot. He writes that being an entertainer was TAO's choice and that he will support him to the end, but as his father, if it's choosing between letting him remain in Korea to continue his career and bring him home so he can recover, he would choose the latter. Mr. Huang has also done an interview with Sina where he stated that TAO's injuries have been acting up, but SM did not allow him to get treatment, and the label that was supposed to be ensuring his needs were met and giving him opportunities to develop as an artist neglected to do so, saying that SM delayed his treatments as long as possible, and even though they entered talks to develop his solo activities, none of it came to fruition. Photos supposedly documenting Tao's injuries are online, and among the photos are of a person, reportedly Tao, walking on crutches coming out of a pharmacy holding a bag of medication. Another shows him in a wheelchair with his foot bandaged up, which was accompanied by a picture of his foot, swollen and bruised, supposedly after shooting a variety show where he had cut his foot on coral while in the ocean. Another news report was released later stating that Tao had agreed to withdraw from the group, though Tao himself has not yet released a statement regarding these rumors, though he has posted something on his social network saying, "I'm sorry, thank you." Now, I, as an observer, have no way of ascertaining what is true and or what isn't. But if the injuries are real, no one should even be walking on a torn ligament, let alone dancing and performing. And if it is true that he cut his foot on coral, that is a serious danger to his life, not just his health, as coral can be extremely sharp, and the cuts, even though they may be small, they're usually deep and they hurt a lot. And beyond that, coral actually has growing on it a lot of these microorganisms and bacteria that may not be that harmful to the fish and other organisms that nibble on the coral for sustenance. It is extremely toxic to human beings, and it can cause major infections that are very painful and just don't look pleasant at all, and it's just not a good experience. And some coral is, you know, such as fire coral, can actually be lethal if a person touches it, but fortunately that's not what Tao had encountered. But he had his foot pricked by coral, and that is, again, a serious danger to not just his health, it's to his life as well. And honestly, since Tao himself has not yet released a statement, I will keep you updated on this. But this, honestly, isn't the first time that someone has launched a lawsuit against SM Entertainment or even had an argument with SM regarding contracts and stuff on the basis that they were neglecting their health. In fact, actually, when the other two EXO members who left, Chris and Luhan, they both cited health reasons and their health being neglected by SM as one of the reasons that they wanted to leave. But unfortunately, it seems as though his decision to leave, even if it's based on what appears to be documented incidents of his health being neglected and him essentially being abused by his label, being forced to perform and rehearse on an injured, on a torn ligament and also an infected foot, that's just not good. And people just seem, there seems to be a lot of backlash towards Tao for wanting out, or supposedly agreeing to leave the group, saying, and some Korean fans have actually left racist comments regarding this issue. But again, I will keep you updated. Everything about this is just not right. So Tao, best of luck to you. Hope you get better soon. Rest up, and everyone understands that it's your dream to be an entertainer. So rest up, stay strong, and come back even better than before. So that's actually going to do it for this week's news. I will keep you updated on that story, and check back in next week when we cover some more news stories. But for now, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we got more music on Asian Wave 101. Stay tuned.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
What you gonna play now?
Bobby, I don't know. But whatsoever I play, it's got to be funky.
The Soulship Enterprise. Saturdays at 7 p.m. CITR 101.9.
Back here live on Asian Wave 101, and now I got some more music for you, starting with a Korean song by the very famous TVXQ, 동방신기, The Rising Gods of the East. The song is called Catch Me, released back in 2012 when they had become a two-member group, a duo. The song is very EDM-heavy, and it has an insane amount of replayability. It's straight-up fist-pump music, so it's another song that's a little more up. No lie, when I first heard the song when it came out back in 2012, I replayed it a lot, and I mean a lot. I think I actually looked at the play counts on my iPhone, and it says the hand essentially it was well above 100. So there's that for you. The one complaint that I have about the song though is that dubstep breakdown, that cookie cutter dubstep breakdown during the bridge of the song, which was inserted into every Korean pop song from 2012 to 2013, which is another incident of the Korean pop industry jumping on trends a year after they happen elsewhere outside of Korea and essentially making them late to the party. But what can you do about that? Again, this was released when they had already become a duo, so let's check it out now. TVXQ, Catch Me. That was TVXQ with Catch Me, a more dance-oriented track, which you can simply vibe along and fist pump it to. Here's an idea. The next time you're at the club, or any other situation with loud EDM, go up to the DJ and request this song, and watch how the rest of the audience reacts once this song goes on, and I want you to tell me about it. If, on the off chance that they do actually have it, and you can actually do this, then mad props to them, and you get to vibe to some K-pop at the club, or wherever you're at. Now, I'm just going to address something really quickly. Now, anybody who's been listening to the song for a good amount of time now will know that there's quite a lot of dubstep hate that goes on here. I don't necessarily hate dubstep. I mean, I can appreciate it when it's done right, but there is absolutely no reason to include it in a pop song, especially one like that where it was really smooth and kind of really, really almost melodic to a certain degree, and it just messes with the flow of the entire song. And it's like these producers just insert it because they think it's cool, or that it's just gonna somehow magically make the song have wider appeal, which it doesn't. So I'm gonna leave it at that. Next up, I have a track from one of the contestants of Unpretty Rap Star. The track was produced by D.O., one of the most iconic Korean underground hip-hop artists of all time, and it's performed by Kisum, featuring an insanely addictive hook by indie R&B artist Taewon, aka C-Love, signed to Brand New Music, and the second verse performed by San E, the MC for the show Unpretty Rap Star, and currently one of Korea's most popular hip-hop artists. The song is much more modern in sound, with distinct trap music influences, and the idea behind the song is never backing down and showing what you're made of. I'm already at the top of my game. You can't stop me even if you tried. It's kind of got that going for it. She's proclaiming that I am a superstar now. And watching the show, I definitely feel that Kisum has improved over the whole thing. And, you know, she honestly killed it. She proved herself. And I was really surprised when it was revealed she was spitting over this type of beats. She doesn't look like the artist who could rock trap music, but she killed it, and even with her more youthful, higher pitched voice. So let's stomp on them haters and detractors. Kisum, Sae, and Taewon, Superstar.
Yes. D.O. Kisum, baby. Okay, let go.
Hello, my name K-I-S-U-F. Music, girl, go look at you.
Hey, boys, I can't.
Hello, my name K-I-S-U-F.
Music, girl, go look at you. Hey, boys, I can't. I'm ready. 모두 준비됐어. 난 준비됐어. 모두를 놀래키 준비 100%. 3번부터 시작해. Show me 돈을 거치. 랩이 내게 부하 명해줬어. 외모 신경 끄고 랩이 나 연습하라 했던 moon swing. 난 지금 full swing. 날리지 않고 더 do swing. 깔끔하게 해준다 지내 랩 춤. 사기추 사위던 뜻을 이제 랩 맞고서 하지. Korean은 원해 내 색은 보안 유명세. 분명해 너 평생 나한테 한반도 안 되나. 한반도론 부족해 올라타지 나로 후회. 올라가지 우주 정복 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 해. 내게 설교하지만 난 만만하니 만들어 늘 만만하게 봤던 발을 살벌하게 다 지겨. 고개 절대 안 숙여. 니들 막말해도 안 죽어. 왜 전부 날 선택했지. 누가 와도 안 굴려.
아무리 가려도 누가 아무리 날 막아도 아무런 소용도 없다는 걸 알게 될 거야. 난 이미 빛난 눈부시면 가마 어딘지 난 알아. 너의 머리 위야.
Hate me, damn. I feel like a star. All this rapper kids trying to use my name to get fame. I don't really feel bad. 나 역시 그렇게 왔거든. 내가 너였어도 날 됐을 거야. 문제는 잘 들어. 관중아, I cash flow. 서클댄스보다 정확한 예언. 삼지는 너 냈던 멸종. 이미 지금 맘에.
So boring.
주민은 hard carry.
So sorry.
이게 내 최고 겸손이야. 살짝 featuring의 존재가 쓸데없이 awkward. 나도 인정 난 극혐 올겨울 다스했지 밀턴 파카룸 pretty MC master of ceremonies remove the crowd 느껴가는 정기 now I get you
아무리 가려도 누가 아무리 날 막아도 아무런 소용도 없다는 걸 알게 될 거야 난 이미
this shit. A queen of rap song. We superstar, you know what I'm talking about? On the deal track. Kiss him. Rockin' with Sean E. I know y'all hearing this.
I'm not a bitch, none of us. I'm superstar.
That was Kiss Song featuring Sai E and Taewon. Superstar. Amazing track. Some really clever lyrics in there, actually. If you just hear a little bit of that chant at the very beginning of the song, if you can remember that. What she was saying essentially is just like, hello, my name is K-I-S-U-M. And music spelt backwards, that's M-U-S-I-K. So she definitely has that, a little bit of that wordplay. She definitely has the feel for hip-hop music. She knows what she's doing. And I will say this one thing, though. I feel a little bit lied to by the show on Pretty Rap Star. So you know how to spell Kisum's name now. So after this is done, I want you to just go on Google, and then I want you to type her name in, and then I want you to take a look at her images. All right, she is the furthest thing from unpretty. Honestly, and more than half the girls on the show were not actually unpretty. So, Mnet, when you made that show, you lied to us all, man. Seriously. But other than that, really interesting track. That was something very new. I did not expect that from her. So definitely you want to go and check out some more of Kisum. And if you like some more, and if you'd like to hear some more hip-hop music, definitely check out the music on the Unpretty Rap Star compilation album that was created by all the contestants on the Unpretty Rap Star show. So moving on, though, I got a song by a very famous Mandarin artist called Wang Lihong, and the song is called 71分之一, which translates roughly to 1 in 7 billion or 7 billion to 1. And this song, it's not really up, but it's very bright and it's very chill, I guess you could say. And the idea behind it, though, is that it's talking about kind of a star-crossed love, kind of this unexpected meeting. The meeting with that one person, how is it that one person in 7 billion, it ends up being that? It ends up being her or him. So when he first performed the song back at a concert in July 2014, a lot of people thought that he was talking about his wife, and he's saying that it's not the case, it's just talking about this chance meeting, all according to fate, and it just ends up blossoming into this beautiful love. So let's check it out now. Wang Lihong, 7 billion to 1.
Oh,
That was Wang Lihong with 70亿分之一, 7 billion to 1, expressing that there's always hope. There's always that chance meeting with the one who's going to be the girl or the guy for the rest of your life. So, you know, for those of you who are looking, I guess you could always keep your hopes up. Remember that it can happen. It certainly happened to him. He's married with a daughter now, so everything's working out. So we've reached the end of the show for this week, and I just want to take this moment really quickly to remind everyone that we do have a podcast available for Asian Wave 101. You can subscribe to it if you ever miss a show and you want to keep up with it. It will be updated as soon as a new episode is available. So if you just want to head over to citr.ca, look for the programming tab and then click shows and podcast and then look for Asian Wave 101. There should be an orange feed burner link that'll take you to the entire podcast page and you can subscribe to that. So to end us off today, I have our Canadian artist of the week, Toronto-based R&B singer, rapper, producer Jordan Lorenzo with his song Riding on Me, which features our local Vancouver artist, very talented R&B singer-songwriter Ryel, and that's going to end us, and that's what we're going to end off with today. So as usual, guys, if you have a request for me at all, send it to me, asianwave101@gmail.com. If you have any thoughts on today's news, don't hesitate to send it to me to the same email address, asianwave101@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. So up next, we got our weekly arts report that's coming in here to update you on the local art scene and what's been happening in the art scene all across Canada and the world even. So Jordan Lorenzo, Riding on Me, featuring Ryel to end us off. This has been Asian Wave 101 live from the University of British Columbia on unceded Musqueam territory. For CITR, I'm Steve. Thank you all for joining me today, and I will see you all next time. Take care, everyone. Time she says she want me with that look on her face.
It is Wednesday, April 29th.
29th. You did it, Jake.
2015, and you're tuned in to the Arts Report on CITR 101.9 FM.
Hi, everybody.
And we have we ever got a good show for you today? If you're listening right now, you're going to want to stay tuned because we have a pair of tickets to give away for a show at the Chan Center this weekend. We've got a review of Cinema Spectacular that Danielle Piper went to last week and is going to tell us about. And we are going to catch everyone up to speed with the BC Book Prize and the Versus Festival of Words. But first up, arts reporter Danielle Piper is here to tell us about Cinema Spectacular.
Hi, Danielle.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good.
So, welcome to the show. Thank you for your, your arts contributions.
Thank you for having me.
Of course. What is Cinema Spectacular?
So, Cinema Spectacular is a one-night-only film festival celebrating low-to-no-budget filmmakers from all across Canada. So, the genres range from everything to comedy, to drama, to animation, whatever you can think of. And it discusses themes like friendship, love, motherhood. There was one really standout film that discussed pro wrestling in the prairies. That was an amazing one.
Nice.
There was one that discussed gender binaries and gender identity. Yeah, it was a really lovely night. I think everyone enjoyed it. I brought two friends with me, and they couldn't shut up about it.
Really cool.
Yeah.
The kind of films that you see and you can kind of digest for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. And what was lovely about them is it was one night, so they all varied in length, but there was enough to keep you fully engaged for the entire night.
Well, I was going to ask about that, because when I hear film festival, I think about, these festivals that last days or weeks, mm-hmm. or something, and all packed into one night.
Yeah.
Seems like a lot, but were you there for too long?
No. It was, think of it as like going to a movie and watching one movie. That's how long I was there for.
Oh, yeah.
And it was great because when I saw the program, I was like, oh my gosh, we're going to watch all of this in this short amount of time. But no, a lot of the films, they were very well done, very tastefully done. Even when they were short, they were enough to have me actually moved and engaged fully with the content that they were creating and presenting.
Well, right on. Tell us about what you saw.
Well, as I said, The Match and Masculines were two standout films for me personally. The Match kind of discusses the pro-wrestling alliance in the prairies, and it follows these two guys with very monotonous lives. They work in like a factory and a burger joint. They don't really do much on a day-to-day basis, and they have their family lives. But what a lot of people don't know about them, or what they do because they're pretty famous where they are, they participate in pro wrestling, and it's their escape, and it's actually quite funny because you follow their day-to-day lives, how it affects their family, the pseudo sport of like rivalry and beating each other up, but behind the scenes these guys are like big friends, like such a brotherhood within the sidelines and backstage, and it was really moving and very funny. It was very tastefully done. I really enjoyed it. I think everyone